a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
One, this is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to today's broadcast. It is Friday, the 29th of April. And again, we welcome everybody who's hopping on here on live on Facebook. If this is your first time joining us, in the comment section below, let us know that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We would always love and appreciate to hear from you. And at this time, we want to welcome everyone who's joining us today, either by live or by the rebroadcast of this on whatever platform you may be watching, whether it's YouTube or Rumble or through the app or live on Facebook. Again, for all the new listeners today and watchers and viewers of our broadcast, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from today. I've got, this is like a almost, I guess it's like a word of encouragement, exhorting word. It's a prophetic word, kind of. It's a devotional word that I got in my own devotional private time of reading the Word of God. And this, I was in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. That's kind of where we're going to hang out today. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit just gave me a prophetic download and a glimpse of something that I want to share with you guys. And I knew as soon as I got this, this is what I was going to be talking about this week. So without further ado, we're going to pull up some scripture here today so you can follow along with me. I'm going to be going to the book of Ecclesiastes. This is where we're going to start out of the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And you guys have heard me mention this passage of scripture a lot when it comes to prophetic glimpses or pictures or previews. And I will say this, and I've said this before, the Bible is full of prophetic parallels, pictures, and patterns where God does things in the past, and it's a prophetic parallel or a preview or a picture of what he's going to do in the future. And Solomon said like this, he said, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done," past tense, "is what will be done," future tense. "And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new, has already been in ancient times before us?" So I want to be talking about a glimpse into the end time persecution of the saints. A glimpse into the end time persecution of the saints. Now, I'm going to show you a passage out of the book of Revelation that's coming in the future during the tribulation. But consequently enough, before we ever get to that, and we're not in the tribulation yet, so this is not happening yet per se, but it's coming. It's a future event. So when I read what I'm going to read to you today and share with you, I knew that there had to be in the scriptures a parallel, a picture, a preview somewhere in the scripture. And consequently, yesterday morning when I was reading the book of Matthew chapter 13, I found it. Now, I had known about another passage, but I found this one in Matthew 13, and that's what set me on with this message. So I want to read to you. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. I want to read this entire passage, and then we're just going to plow a little bit and get into this. This is Matthew 13, 1 through 12. At the time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, quote, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." He's speaking of just of Yeshua or Jesus. Now listen to what it says here. For Herod had laid hold of John the Baptist and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." In other words, he was committing adultery. And although he wanted to put him to death, this is speaking of Herod, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and it pleased Herod. And therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, quote, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry, or he was grieved, and nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. What was it? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. Remember this. John was beheaded in prison. And his head was brought out on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. This is a sick individual. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, again, this is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And it's speaking of the arresting, imprisonment, and beheading of John the Baptist in his day, for something he said that convicted, I'm going somewhere today, Herod. All right, now watch this. So who was this Herod? This Herod mentioned in Matthew 13, according to history, was Herod Antipas. He was a first century ruler of Galilee who bore the title of Tetrarch, or ruler of a quarter, and is referred to as both Herod the Tetrarch and Herod, or King Herod, in the New Testament. Although he never officially held the title of king, but that's interesting, he was the son of Herod the Great. Now, this lineage of Herods is seen throughout the Bible. We're going to talk about that today. And is widely known today for the accounts in the New Testament of his roles and events that led to the executions of, listen to this, John the Baptist and Jesus of Nazareth. And you can find that more about that in Matthew 14. Following the death of his father in 4 BC, Herod Antipas was recognized as Tetrarch by Caesar Augustus, and subsequently by his own brother, Herod Archelaus. Herod divorced his first wife, Phasaelus, the daughter of King Nabidea, in favor of Herodias, who had formerly been married to his half-brother, Herod II. Listen, John the Baptist's condemnation of his arrangement, because he was living in adultery, led this Herod Antipas, to ultimately have him arrested and put to death. Now, the Gospel of Luke states that Jesus was first brought before Pontius Pilate for trial, since Pilate was the governor of Judea, which encompassed Jerusalem, where Jesus was ultimately arrested as well. And Pilate initially handed him over to this very Herod, in whose territory Jesus had been most active. But Herod Antipas eventually sent him back to Pontius Pilate's court, where he was later tried. Remember that story? Now, so we got this going on, and we're going to we're going to bring all this together, guys, so don't worry. Then I want to fast forward, and we're going to go to after the resurrection of Christ. This is when the New Testament church is being established. We go to the book of Acts chapter 12. If you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts chapter 12, and this is from the New King James translation. Now, about that time, Herod the king, and this is a different Herod, by the way, and we'll talk about that in a second as well. Again, there was a lineage of Herods, and we'll give you more information about that in just a moment. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, the Greek word harass here means to, and this is all going to play a role when I get to the end of this message. The word harass here in the Greek means to vex, to press, to oppress, and to do harm. Let me read that again. Herod the king, in the days of Acts 12, stretched out his hand, or, oh, come on, somebody, his authoritative powers to harass, vex, press, oppress, and do harm to those in the church. Y'all getting this? Now look at this. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter as well. And now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, talking about Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. And no doubt he was also going to meet the fate, same fate as James, the brother of John. Now I'm going to pull this back and I'm going to talk to you for a moment. Again, I told you there was multiple Herods, and I want to go over this real quick to give you a little bit of some people get bored with history, but it's to paint a bigger picture of what's going on here. There was Herod the Great, who ruled in 37 to 4 BC. This was the guy who, when he heard about the birth of Yeshua, the birth of Christ, he sent men to try to get Jesus and bring him back so that he may, quote, worship him, when in reality, this Herod the Great in 37 and 4 BC was seeking out to destroy Jesus because there was a prophetic word hanging over him, and it was a threat to Herod's power and his kingdom. Wow. Then you have Herod Archelaus, who ruled in 4 BC to 6 AD. He received one half of his father's territory, which was the area surrounding and near Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Joseph was unwilling to move Mary and Jesus to Bethlehem after fleeing to Egypt because Bethlehem was in this Herod's territory. And like his father, Herod the Great, this Herod Archelaus was known to be a rule and wicked leader as well. And he as well was threatening to destroy Jesus or the Messiah. Then you have the time period of 4 BC to 39 AD. And we have Herod Antipas, which is the Herod that persecuted, arrested, and had John the Baptist beheaded. That's the story. That's what we were talking about earlier in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Then we fast forward to 4 BC to 34 AD, and you have a Herod Philip the Tetrarch. He ruled over Syrians and the Greeks, married his niece Salome, the daughter of Herodias, who was Herod Antipas's wife of sin. Okay. Then you have Herod Agrippa the First, who ruled in 37 to 44 AD and 44 through 44, 41 to 44 AD in Judea. Now, this is the grandson of Herod the Great and the nephew of Herodias. This Herod Agrippa the First is the one who had James, the brother of John, beheaded, and he was seeking to behead Peter as well. Then we have Herod Agrippa the Second, who ruled in AD 50 all the way up to AD 93. And this is the guy where Paul, along with the Roman procurator Festus, when he was in prison in Caesarea and was brought out to trial, you remember that story in the book of Acts? This is the Herod that was there. This is the Herod that Paul, when he was on trial, tried to persuade him to becoming a believer. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about there was a lineage of Herods, and they had a history of being wicked men, and they all persecuted prophets and men and women of God. And they were all judged by God. They all died of horrible deaths. And I don't have time to go into all that because that's not the intent of this message. But now I want to read to you what I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me, which is a prophetic picture and parallel of what we are to expect when we get into the tribulation period. Listen to me carefully here. The Herods in all of these accounts represent, listen to this, governing authorities of the present day. They represented the governing authorities of their day, and they are a picture of the governing authorities of our day. Listen to me, who are opposed to Christ and his word. And we'll talk more, we'll explain more about that in a second. Listen to this. John the Baptist represents the prophetic voice of today that still preaches a message of repentance and delivers the unadulterated, unfiltered word of God, convicting the world and the lovers of it of their sin and immorality. Let me say that again. I know that was a lot to consume. John the Baptist of his day was the prophetic voice of his day. He was the voice preparing the way of the Lord. He was deemed to be a prophet. He was the prophetic voice of his day. There was like 400 years of silence. No open prophetic word was given. And then John the Baptist comes on a scene, and the power and the anointing of Elijah. By the way, Elijah the prophet, you can go read this in the Old Testament. Elijah the prophet was raised up to be a prophetic voice during a governing authority who was ruling by tyranny in their day with Ahab and Jezebel, who was causing the entire nation to be plunged into immorality, wickedness, and darkness. And they considered sin a trivial thing. And God raised up a prophet, a rugged prophet by the name of Elijah, who had the authority to shut up the heavens and cause a drought, and came in there with the authority of the Holy Spirit and of God himself, and rebuked them and spoke the word of the Lord over them, resulting in persecution against him in his day. Then we fast forward. We have John the Baptist, once again, who is raised up by God to prepare the way of the Lord. This is all important when we get to the, to, 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 wow, that's a tongue twister. when we get to the modern day, the present tense of today and in the future. So again, John the Baptist represents the prophetic voice of today that is upholding the message of repentance, delivering the unadulterated and unfiltered word of God, convicting the world and the lovers of it of their sin, even the highest ranking government leaders and officials. Therefore, we see here that Herod in John's day responded with John's message of repentance and a warning to him to turn from adultery and his lifestyle of sin. How did he respond? By having John arrested, imprisoned, and eventually he was put to death by beheading. This is so important when we get to where we're going. We see this repeated, listen to me, later in the book of Acts, after the resurrection of Christ in the early church with John, the brother of, with James, the brother of John, also being, listen to me, arrested, imprisoned, and ultimately the Bible says he was killed by the sword. I looked this up and it was said that he was most likely beheaded by the sword. As now, listen to this. As we near the return of the Lord, and as we edge and get closer and closer to the time of the tribulation, I believe we will see an increase of persecution against the true remnant ecclesia or the church who, listen to me, who will carry the same message as John the Baptist and Jesus in the New Testament. Now, what was the message of John the Baptist and Jesus? Go read it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it will tell you they preached a message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what that entails is they preached against immoral lifestyles. They preached against sin. They preached to turn from the world and its wicked ways. Peter stood up and he also preached a message of repentance when the men stood up in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and they said, "What must we do?" And Peter stood up and said, "Turn from this perverse and wicked generation." But what else did he say? He said, "Repent. Repent and turn from this perverse and wicked generation." So I believe, listen to me, just like Solomon said, is there anything that is new that cannot be said it was of old? So if the early remnant, the early church, the early true prophets of God were persecuted, imprisoned, arrested, and ultimately killed for the message that they carried, it is naive and it is ignorant and it is arrogant to believe that is if we carry the same message today, that we will not meet the same fate. Did not the word of the Lord say that we as the student is not above the master or the teacher? Now listen, as we near the return of the Lord, we will ultimately see an increase of persecution against the church. And listen to me, and the new woke movement and hate speech legislations, I believe, will play a huge role into ultimately the Bible being deemed as hate speech, and it will be deemed as a tool of divisiveness, bigotry, hate, and inclusion. No doubt it will result in believers being targeted just like the early church. And they will, listen to this, and they will be vexed, harassed, oppressed and ostracized from society, and ultimately those who speak out against government leaders and those in authority regarding immorality, sinful lifestyles, and wickedness, just as John and Elijah did in their days, and even Jesus, they will be arrested, fined, imprisoned, and eventually, watch this, we will get to the tribulation period, and that leads me to where I want to bring this to an end. I want to pull this up, Revelation 20, verse 4, Revelation 24. This is where it's going. I showed you where we've been. I've spoke a little bit about where we are present tense. Now I want to tell you where we're going. Watch this. This is John the Revelator, who in 90 to 95 AD, when he wrote the book of Revelation, inspired by the Holy Spirit, John said in his writings in Revelation 20, verse 4, listen what he says, and I saw, John speaking, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And look at this. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. Wow. Why were they beheaded? For their witness to Jesus. Watch this. Look at my, well, I don't know if you can see me, but I'm holding up one finger. They were beheaded for their witness to Jesus. Number two, for the word of God. Number three, because they had not worshiped the beast, that's Satan. We could also say the Antichrist, because he's one of the beasts in Revelation 13. You have the second beast, the false prophet. So it's safe to say who had not worshiped Satan, his Antichrist, his false prophet. That's number three. Number four, or his image. Number five, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Oh, come on, somebody. I got to break it down again. I'm trying to tell you today that, listen, God always gives us a heads up. He gives the church a heads up. He gives us a prophetic glimpse. He gives us prophetic parallels. He gives us patterns. He shows us cycles. The Bible says that God does nothing lest he first reveal it through his servants, the prophets. The Bible says in the book of John, speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will reveal all things unto you, and he will show you things to come. I'm trying to tell you guys, as bad as it is right now, there's coming a time during the tribulation that there will be saints that will be beheaded, just like James, the brother of John, just like John the Baptist was beheaded, and just like many, many countless brothers and sisters, maybe not here in America, maybe not in Europe, but I'm telling you, in the Middle East, where they have been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus. And John says the day is coming in the tribulation period that not only will you be beheaded for your testimony to Jesus, but you will be beheaded because you simply carry a Bible in your hand or on your phone or in your tablet, or you tout or preach or speak or advocate a book that will, no doubt in my mind, by the time we get to that period, will be deemed as hate speech, bigotry, and inclusiveness, and all these other terms. It will be completely looked and frowned upon by the society that will be alive and well during the reign of the Antichrist. Because you got to remember, the majority of the world is going to be eating out of the palms of the Antichrist. They are going to be swallowing up and embracing this mark of the beast system, while those who oppose it are the only ones who are going to oppose this system, oppose the image of the beast, and oppose worshiping the beast and the false prophet who are instituting this system. The only ones who are going to be opposing it are the ones who are causing problems for the Antichrist and his governing system. And guess who that is? That is the sold out, blood bought, uncompromising church of the living God. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, I believe this is a word. I've never preached this word. This is a brand new revelation that the Lord showed me. I kind of knew about this, but the Holy Spirit really gave me a download. So I thank the Lord for this word. And I pray that you've been informed by this. And I would even say encouraged by this. And you say, how can this be an encouraging word? Here's how it's an encouraging word, guys. Listen, I know we have diversities of theology. I am not ignorant of that. There is people on here today that believe wholeheartedly in a pre-tribulation rapture. You got people that believe in a mid-trib or a post-trib, or they don't believe in any rapture. Here's the bottom line. Whether you believe that the church is going to be removed from the equation before we get to the tribulation, or you believe that we're going to be in parts of the tribulation, or we're going to go through the tribulation, here's the bottom line. If you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, don't be stupid and foolish and wait until the Antichrist is here and the false prophet's here and the image has been erected and the system's being instituted. Don't wait then, because if you wait until then, it's too late. You will be deceived. You'll be persuaded. You'll be manipulated. And you will come under the spell of the Antichrist. I can prove it to you in Thessalonians, because it says that God himself will allow those who have rejected the gospel to fall into the deception of the Antichrist, the ruler of darkness, the lawless one, the son of perdition. So here's what you need to do today. And I implore you today, if you're watching this today, you're listening today, listen, one of two things. Either one, you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never been born again. Or two, you were serving the Lord at one time and you're backslid. You're away from God. You know that you're not where you're supposed to be with God. Listen, I want to specifically pray for you today on this broadcast. In fact, let me pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for whoever that is today that's watching and listening on the other end of this microphone and at the end of this camera today, whether it's live or by the rebroadcast of this, if you're away from God or don't know God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God today would arrest you right where you're at today. He would convict you of your sins. When the men in the book of Acts were pricked to the heart because of the preaching of Peter, and they implored Peter and said, "What must we do?" Peter looked at them and said, "Repent, each one of you, and turn from this perverse and wicked ways. Turn from this perverse and wicked generation." And he said, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him. So that's what I'm praying for you today, is right where you're at. Repent, turn from your ways, turn from serving yourself, serving the world, and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ today. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, you shall be saved. If you're watching this today and you're away from God, you know you're away from God, you know you're not right with God, friends, listen, you know what to do. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The Bible says, if you will repent of your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So right where you're at today, just repent. and say, God, I know I'm not right with you. I know I am lukewarm. I'm cold. I'm distant. I've been away from you. I've not been in the church. I've not been serving the church. I've not been in your word, not been in your presence. I know that I'm not right with you. And I acknowledge that today. And I repent today. And I want to come back. I thank you today. I repent of my sins. I repent of my rebellion and my foolishness. And I am wholeheartedly running after you and your kingdom today. And from this day forward, I'm asking that you give me the mercy, that you give me the grace, and you give me the strength to finish the good work that you have begun in me, that I may complete it until the day of redemption, in Jesus' name. Come on, and all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, we thank you for taking the time out today to come onto this broadcast. Again, if you're new to the broadcast or if you've not yet done it yet, please download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. If you're watching or listening today, again, it's absolutely free. You'll keep up with our headlines. You'll be alerted of all of our latest podcasts that you can either watch or listen at your leisure. If you're listening today, all you got to do is go to your Apple Store or Android Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH End Time Headlines logo, our banner there, and download our free app today. Get it into your hands so that you can be blessed by our ministry. Don't rely on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these social media networks. Listen, I don't have to explain that. We've seen the censorship, the shadow banning, the deplatforming, all that stuff's going on. And don't think just because Elon Musk is now in control of Twitter that that's going to stop at Twitter. Because again, you've got greater forces at hand that are going to play a role in this. And again, as always, guys, if you've been blessed, encouraged, informed, and equipped by this ministry on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity as you've been blessed, we want to give you the opportunity to be a blessing back. We always want to encourage you to become a monthly partner, and you could do that with a gift of any amount, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You can set that up by going to the app, or you can do it electronically and you can become a monthly partner, do that. Or you can give old school method by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And on that note, I just want to personally thank you from here at End Time Headlines. We appreciate all of our partners. You know who you are, that are watching, that are listening, who give on a monthly basis or whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whether it's electronically or through checks in the mail or whatever the case may be. Again, without your support, guys, we would not be able to continue to do what we're doing on a weekly basis. And some of you guys, this is your home church. So we appreciate that. We understand there is places up in America, even in America, that are not spirit-filled churches. There's no place to worship there that are doctrinally sound or whatever. So again, if this is your home church, your family to us, we appreciate you. We love you. We're always praying for you, and we're here to do what we do. This is what we do. And you say, well, and you maybe listened today and you said, well, brother, I just cannot physically give to your ministry. Listen, that's okay. We're not condemning you. We're not shaming you at all. We're still going to equip you. We're still going to feed you. We're still going to encourage you, and we're going to still inform you. You be blessed. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So listen, to those that are blessed and are able, they are being a blessing to you. So listen, you thank everyone else who is giving, because they are contributing to everybody else that came to being blessed. Come on, that's how it works in the kingdom. Too much is given, much is required. And so it's an awesome thing how God works through the ministry, and we're going to continue to do that, and we're reaching people around the world. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, we're going to sign off for today on this Friday. We will be off the weekend as always, and we plan on being back here on Monday, and we'll join you guys again next Monday, which will be in the, we'll be in the month of May. That's incredible in itself, mind-boggling that we're that far along in the year already. But we'll be entering into the month of May next week, and we will pray about what we will speak about on Monday's broadcast. So until then, may the Lord bless you May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless. Have a safe weekend.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.